Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host,
let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to the penultimate edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. I just love that word, penultimate. It means next to last. It is our next to last show of the 2019 season here on Sunday mornings, which means the NFL season is just regular season, that is, the season that actually I can stand, is just 2 weeks away. Next week will be our thrilling season finale on Labor Day weekend, but two shows to go, including today. Hope you enjoy this one with me. Coming up on today's program, lots of wide open phones at 803-0551, 888-552-550. But we'll also talk to Dustin Albino from frontstretch.com and get his thoughts on all things going on in the NASCAR world as the Cup Series is off this weekend, their final off weekend until the stretch run to championship weekend at Homestead in November, with two races remaining in the regular season. Next Sunday at Darlington, the Southern 500, of course, and then the following weekend in Indianapolis to close out the regular season, and then it's playoffs, baby. The playoffs for the Monster Energy Cup Series Championship, as the field will go from 16-8 to 4 for the, or 16-12 to 8 to 4, that is, to get to the championship weekend at Homestead to decide this year's Monster Energy Cup Series champion. But still plenty of racing going on this weekend. Obviously, local racing had a busy weekend, Friday at Ransomville and Saturday at Lancaster personally, but hope you had a chance to see some local racing as well too this weekend. The truck and Xfinity series also in action this weekend, and IndyCar too. Actually, it's kind of funny. You've got, well, the Cup Series is off, but you've got the trucks and the Xfinity series on road courses, and IndyCar was on an oval this weekend. So I thought that was a funny juxtaposition a little bit, as the Xfinity series ran at Road America yesterday. Of course, the trucks, they are up north today. They're at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Bowmanville, Ontario. Maybe you're on your way there for today's Truck Series event up there. They just finished up qualifying, and then the IndyCar Series was in action at Gateway last night on the oval there near St. Louis, and a crazy race there last night for the IndyCar Series. But obviously the sports world still buzzing about this Andrew Luck retirement story, and it's, well, part of the reason why I can't stand the NFL these days with the, and not anything to do with Andrew Luck. You know, good for him. He's going out on his own terms. Great for him. And hopefully he gets a handle on everything he's going with in his life, puts himself in a good spot with his family, and I wish him the best of luck. But everything else that's going on around with this is why I hate the NFL, even though I'll be on my couch 2 weeks from today watching, and you know, I have two fantasy drafts in the next 2 weeks. But the 24/7, 365 news cycle of the NFL, I cannot stand, but I do still love watching the games on Sunday. You know, give me the Red Zone channel every Sunday I'm watching, and my fantasy football team's my favorite football team. But the Andrew Luck story, all the booing and terrible people on social media saying terrible things about him, and the endless analysis is hot garbage, and I feel bad for anybody that has to talk about that for any length of time. But what if this happened in NASCAR? What if Jimmy Johnson, I think Jimmy Johnson might be a good example of this. Jimmy's obviously hasn't gone through the injuries of what Andrew Luck has gone through, but what if Jimmy Johnson next weekend at Darlington just pulls off on lap 100 and said, that's it, guys, I'm done, Mr. Hendrick, sorry, I'm done, I don't want to race anymore, I want to retire. You know, could you blame him after this season, to be honest? What a frustrating year it's been for someone that's won 7 championships, barely, not even clinging to a playoff spot, trying to claw into a playoff spot, and on your second crew chief of the season, you're driving a car that you probably hate driving because it's totally different from the type of car that you won 7 championships in, probably. I'm just assuming, you know, Jimmy hasn't said too much about the aero package this year, but really, could you blame Jimmy Johnson if he, even not even the middle of the race on Sunday, but just after practice on Friday or Saturday at Darlington next week, and just say, yeah, I've had it, see ya, I'm out, peace. You know, he's got a great family, a beautiful wife, two daughters, you know, he's loaded probably. He doesn't need to run another lap in that race car really for the rest of his life. He's set to go. Could you blame Jimmy Johnson if he just said, I'm done, After the middle of this weekend coming up, Darlington, or at the end of this season, could you blame Jimmy Johnson for wanting to hang it up after what a frustrating year it's been? I wouldn't. I would not criticize him one bit because he's made his mark on the sport. He's a legend, a seven-time champ. He's reached one of the ultimate statistical peaks of our sport. Outside of 200 wins, seven championships is the ultimate, is that other true benchmark of ultimate greatness in NASCAR. He's up there with two legends in Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt. I would not blame Jimmy Johnson if he went to Darlington next weekend and said, that's it, guys, I'm done. I'm retiring because just not having fun anymore. And that, again, wouldn't blame him, but wouldn't that be something? The equivalent, that was instantly what I thought about when I heard this Andrew Luck thing, is like, what would be the motorsports equivalent? And I immediately thought of Jimmy Johnson and the 48 team, and just him, calling it quits. So, like I said, wouldn't blame him. Does anybody else have a possible equivalent to this? Who else could you maybe put into that category? I guess locally, and again, slightly different scenario, but we talked to Chuck Hosfeld last week, of course, and Chuck is hanging it up from full-time driving, and again, going out on his terms, kind of a surprise announcement, caught a lot of people off guard. He still could run race for, another 10, 15 years, really, and still be a threat on no matter where he showed up with the modified. I mean, just picked the 1-2 races this weekend, including a heck of a race last night at Lancaster, passing Sean Nye and Patrick Emmerling on the final corner of the final lap of the race. But I guess there would be an equivalent locally with Chuck deciding to call it quits, at least from full-time car ownership / driving duties in modified racing. But there's another, I guess, example of retirement, maybe out of nowhere, I guess you could say, that was unexpected of sorts. But I don't know who else, if there's somebody else in the sport that you could draw an equivalent to. I guess you could also say Carl Edwards. I did see Carl's name kind of pop up in relation to this. Carl kind of retiring out of nowhere. Again, not doing it in the middle of a season or anything, or right before. Well, actually, did kind of do it right before the season, because I think he retired in like January, just a month or so before the Daytona 500. But I guess Edwards is another one that you could say, is similar to this Andrew Luck situation as well, too, with Luck or Edwards calling it a career. And look, he's pretty much disappeared from the racing world. I think he showed up at the track like once the following season to help Daniel Suarez. And I don't know, we've barely heard a peep out of Carl Edwards outside of maybe an occasional interview. But really, he's been, living life in Missouri or wherever he is. He has disappeared off the face of the earth, at least when it comes to racing. And again, going out on his own terms and everything, and that'll be a great sort of a mystery to fully know what was going through Carl's mind when he decided to retire. And, while there was lots of rumors at the time when he retired that, Dodge is going to start and is coming back to NASCAR and they're going to have Carl Edwards. And, after those initial rumors when he first retired, he is pretty much stayed away from the track and out of the spotlight. So, it does happen in motorsports too, somewhat similar to Andrew Luck, although it's never happened right in the middle of a race, I guess. I think there's been drivers that maybe have gotten out of the car and retired. I've heard of drivers, maybe on the local level, in the short track level, getting out of the car, winning a race, saying, that's it, I'm done, I'm retired. But never on a major national level, at least nobody that jumps to mind. Feel free to point out if I'm missing somebody obvious here. But never in the middle of a race or at the end of a race, driver just getting out of the car saying, see you guys, I'm out, I'm retiring. Not like that. Not that Andrew Luck planned to announce his retirement right in the middle of that preseason game yesterday. Just kind of the news broke right in the middle of it, but it was still kind of awkward with him sitting on the sidelines and the news of his impending retirement getting out. But it would be something to have a driver just kind of pull off the track and get out of the car and never come back in. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. As I said, the other two major national NASCAR series on road courses this weekend. The Xfinity Series racing yesterday at Road America in Wisconsin, wrapping up their crazy August with the three road course races and then the trip to Bristol stuffed in the middle, and Christopher Bell picking up another win. We had Christopher on the show a couple of weeks back, picking up the win for Joe Gibbs Racing over Austin Cindric and Tyler Reddick, and Noah Gragson and Kaz Grala yesterday at Road America. Justin Haley, Chase Briscoe, Jeremy Clements, Justin Allgaier, Cole Custer, rounding out the top 10 finishers yesterday there at Road America, as the Bell, of course, one of the big three this year in the Xfinity Series that continue to pile up wins. And in the Truck Series, as I said, up at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Bowmanville, Ontario, this race is always kind of a rugged one. Lots of physicality out there on the racetrack when the trucks get on the road course there. We've seen some memorable moments with the trucks beating and banging. But Brett Moffitt, who won the opening round of the truck playoffs, he will be on the pole today. Todd Gillen will join him on the front row. Ross Chastain qualified third. Alex Tagliani, the great Canadian driver that's driven, you know, just about everything from IndyCar to he's a regular in the Pinty Series these days. He is driving, I believe, for Kyle Busch Motorsports today. He will roll off fourth. Ben Rhodes qualified fifth. Austin Hill, Harrison Burton, Tyler Ankrum, Raphael Lessard, another Canadian driver, Matt Crafton, qualifying the top 10. Stuart Friesen qualified 12th, but he will have to go at the tail of the field because he had to go to a backup truck after backing his truck into a tire barrier. And I believe also Sheldon Creed and Jordan Anderson also have to drop to the rear of the field, as a couple of drivers did get some damage in practice. Jim and Hamburg was on the line for a second, and he brought up something. I see the comment here on the call screen at least, but Bobby Isaac, that is a good one. Hearing the voices at Talladega, and I guess, maybe that was in the middle of the race. Thank you. I knew there was somebody obvious I'd be missing, especially maybe from back in the day that wouldn't jump to mind. But yeah, thank you, Jim, for at least mentioning that. Unfortunately, you dropped off. I would have got you on here, but Bobby Isaac in Talladega, I think he heard voices or something, and he decided to call quits. I guess that would be a great example, motorsports wise, of kind of what Andrew Luck is going through right now in the NFL. But yeah, Bobby Isaac definitely could have been winning a championship right in the middle of the Petty Pearson heyday back there in the 1970s, and he was an odd cat from everything I've kind of read about him and learned about him learning more about Bobby Isaac. But yeah, I think he did park the car in the middle of the race, said, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. So that is a good one. So thank you for bringing it up. I knew, like I said, there'd be somebody obvious I'd be missing, and that is a great example of that. Again, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We'll get Dustin Albino here on the line from FredStretch.com in just a minute. But as I said, yeah, Stuart Friesen will have to go to the rear of the field along with Jordan Anderson and Sheldon Creed today. For today's Truck Series race, only 29 trucks for the race today at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, as the series kind of struggled to get a lot of trucks to make the trip up to Canada for today's race. One driver that wanted to be there but unfortunately won't be racing is Tyler Dipple, who is a young man, I think 19 years old, based originally from the eastern end of New York State, started out in dirt modifieds and had been driving for the 0-2 car. Or a 0-2 truck, that is, this season. And he has been suspended indefinitely by NASCAR. And that news came out, I think, on Friday. And it was for the old phrase, actions detrimental to stock car racing. We don't know publicly what the reason Tyler has been suspended by NASCAR. There are some rumors of possible run-ins with the law in illegal substances, but those are just strictly rumors. There's not been any kind of supporting details. Coincidentally, his Twitter account got suspended, but there hasn't been any evidence of any kind of social media shenanigans. Nobody kept screenshotted anything he may have posted on Twitter that got his account suspended, but regardless, Tyler Dipple has been suspended by NASCAR, and DJ Kennington, one of the great Canadian racers, will be filling in the O2 truck today at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. But we will maybe be hearing more about that story in the coming week on the O2 truck. And again, the Young Motorsports team, posting a statement that they were disappointed in everything going on with the situation with their driver, but they obviously have to adhere to what NASCAR
ruled, and they had to make the driver switch for today, but that came down on Friday with Tyler Dipple being parked by NASCAR. So it'll be interesting to see if we do actually get confirmation on what the issue was with Tyler, and if and when he'll be reinstated by the sport. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550, as we're having trouble getting touch with Dustin Albino today. But as the Cup Series off this weekend, and maybe the one thing that Denny Hamlin didn't want to see, Denny has been on a hot streak as of late, now up to 4 wins this season, as he picked up another one last weekend at Bristol, as we talked about. And how about Denny's last 5 races? Well, that's really last 6 races. Kentucky 5th, Loudon 2nd, Pocono win, the Watkins Glen 3rd, Michigan 2nd, and Bristol a win. And all of a sudden, Denny Hamlin is really a legit championship contender. Denny's always been kind of on the cusp of being a real championship contender, but has only made it to the championship 4 one time in the Cup Series in his career since they've gone to this playoff format. But really, this could be Denny Hamlin's year, as he is kind of rounding into a legit contender here with this string of top 5 finishes and top 3 finishes really in his last 5 starts. Not that he really faltered much this season. He dropped to a low as 7th in the standings, but really outside of a 36th place run at Talladega this year, he's had good consistent finishes. You know, the restrictor plates have kind of not the win at Daytona 500 obviously got him off to a good start, but Talladega and the second race Daytona did not fare well. But those are the two biggest blemishes on his record this season. But are you buying Denny Hamlin? Buy or sell? Denny Hamlin is a championship contender this year with how things are, you know, going for the 11 team here. He and crew chief Chris Gabehart, now 4 wins, including 2 in the last 4 races, and definitely, if you know, next week we'll probably I'll do my usual end of season predictions in our season finale. But I think I'd be penciling Denny Hamlin, at least as I think about it today, penciling Denny Hamlin into my Final Four at Homestead with how things are turning around. Not really turning around, but just he's kind of hitting this hot streak here heading towards the end of the regular season. And he's now 3rd in the point standings, and also is loaded up on 23 playoff points, which ties him with Martin Truex for the 2nd most playoff points. Kyle Busch has the most playoff points and leads the point standings. I was going to say, I thought, you know, we haven't heard too much from Kyle Busch, and I said, oh, he must, you know, not. I just kind of was generalizing an opinion in my head, is like, man, Kyle must not be having the last few weeks. You know, we haven't heard a lot about him. Not that he's been crashing or anything. He's been leading laps, and I thought, oh, let's look at, you know, Kyle's stats, and really he's actually not falling off the pace all that much, but still just he hasn't been winning, I guess. And you know, Denny's kind of gone on this hot streak, so maybe he's kind of pulled ahead of Kyle Busch at JGR over this last month or so. But still, Kyle not really slacking off, despite what I was thinking in my head coming together with my thoughts for today's program. But you look at Kyle's last 6 races during this hot streak for Denny, and still not too bad, because he finished 2nd at Kentucky, 8th at Loudon, 9th at Pocono, 11th at the Glen, 6th at Michigan, and 4th at Bristol. So I guess it's unlike Kyle Busch, because he hasn't won since Pocono, really, which has been quite a stretch. You know, racked up 4 wins in the first 14 races, but has not won since the first Pocono race back in June. He does have 2 second-place finishes, though, during that stretch at Sonoma and at Kentucky, but you know, it just seems kind of like unlike Kyle Busch, because it's just been a quiet stretch for him, because he hasn't racked up any wins here since the middle of June, and 10 races ago in the Cup Series, but still leading the points. Obviously, he might be just kind of saving up just a little bit too, trying to make a run for his second championship. And obviously, he is going to be, I think, penciled into my Final Four here going forward. The couple of question marks, the biggest question mark might be around Joey Logano, who is 2nd in the point standings. But he has, while Hamlin is kind of in an upswing, Logano and the 22 team are on a downswing a bit right now. You know, Joey's last 4 races, 13th at Pocono, 23rd at the Glen, 17th at Michigan, and 16th at Bristol. And, you know, I think the incident at Bristol, not completely out of his own doing, but really this team might be struggling just a little bit for a defending Cup Series champion, has not won since Michigan, and has his two wins this year, of course, at Vegas and at Michigan this season, but is the 22 team, are they starting to stumble here a little bit? Can they get things turned around headed towards the playoffs as they look to defend their Cup Series champion? So he's kind of on my bubble, I guess, right now for the Final Four. You got, of course, Truex and Harvick and Keselowski all right there. And really, it's maybe four out of those six that will be positioning themselves to go to the Final Four at Homestead in November. And we'll talk more about, again, predictions on next week's program, but just kind of had some extra time here in this segment with not able to get in touch with Dustin Albino from FredStretch.com. But I definitely looking at four out of the top six there, probably where your Final Four are going to come from, as, you know, with the playoff points and the way the playoff system is now, I think it's harder for kind of that upset. We've kind of seen since the most recent changes to the playoff formats and the playoff points and everything that upsets are kind of hard to come by, I think. You know, you don't see like a 16 upsetting a 1 or an 8 upsetting a 1 in other sports. That doesn't, it's a little bit more of a challenge in the NASCAR playoffs unless a guy gets really hot, say like maybe a Tony Stewart did when he won his championship and won 5 races. You know, it's harder for that 14th, 15th, 16th place driver to kind of make a run to the Final Four unless they get really hot. But really, when you look at the season-long performance, you look at the guys 14th at the bottom of the playoffs here, Almirola, Jones, Newman, Suarez, are those guys outside of maybe some performances out of Eric Jones this year, you know, you don't look to see them kind of unseating the big guys in the Bushes and Logano's and Hamlin's and Harvick's and Truex's, you know, just... It's their performances haven't matched up to those guys, and that's why they're struggling to make a playoff spot. So outside of a major turn of events or some good luck for the guys at the bottom of the playoff grid, it's tough to for them to advance. And plus, they don't have the playoff points like these other guys do that give them an advantage as well too. They're already behind the eight ball points wise. It's not you know, like a stick and ball playoff sport where everything's 0-0 going into the postseason. It isn't really in the NASCAR playoffs with the playoff points, and those guys at the top of the standings already have an advantage going in, so it requires a huge upset for to see some of those guys at the bottom of the playoff grid to move forward past maybe, you know, they might get to the round of 12 or 8. But really, once we get to that Final Four, they need to have some luck on their side, I think, to really make it all the way to Homestead and have a shot at the championship. But, hey, never say never. You know, nobody was predicting Joey Logano was going to win the championship at this point last year. Everybody was talking about the big three in Busch and Truex and Harvick after they dominated the year. And then Logano got it together at the right time, made the Final Four, and pulled off a huge upset, winning the championship last season with the 22 team. But again, they're slightly struggling here just a little bit late in the regular season. We're going to head to a break here. Unfortunately, we're not able to get in touch with our guests, but we get back. Phone lines will still be open, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll be back with more Fast Track here on WGR.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Toyota, and you're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:30 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. I looked it up on Bobby Isaac there during the break, and again, thanks to, I think it was Jim and Hamburg that brought it to my attention. 1973 Talladega 500, Bobby apparently hearing voices telling him to quit, and he just parked the car and left, but it wasn't a permanent retirement. He did come back in 1974 and ran a limited schedule from 74 to 76 and ultimately passed away in 1977 in a late model sportsman race at Hickory, dying of a heart attack due to heat exhaustion from being in the car that day. But again, thank you for that, Jim. In correlation with the Andrew Luck retirement announcement, we're talking about drivers, you know, potentially hanging it up out of nowhere. And Isaac, a good example of that in the motorsports world. We're going to go to the Western Hotline, though, and bring in from FrontStretch.com, Dustin Albino. We've gotten a hold of Dustin, and Dustin, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing well, and yeah, how about that? I don't know how much of a football fan you are, Dustin, but that just crazy scene yesterday with the Colts and Andrew Luck, and I immediately I thought, would you blame Jimmy Johnson if he did the same thing next weekend at Darlington?
No, that caught me off guard. I think it caught most of America, most of the world off guard. I played football 10 years growing up, 3rd through 12th grade, so. I know the mental mindset you have to have at that. Obviously not at that level, but, yeah, that came out of left field. And he's only been in the league 7 years, obviously been a lot of injuries. But the closest thing I can relate this to NASCAR would be Carl Edwards a couple years ago.
Yep.
Coming so close to a championship and then just hanging it up over the offseason in 2016. So kind of wild. And, yeah, that definitely caught me off guard yesterday.
Well, Dustin, we're here in the final off weekend for the Cup Series here in 2019 as we will as the series heads to Darlington next week for the Southern 500 in the final two races of the regular season. And right now it's Denny Hamlin's world, and we're all just kind of playing in it as Denny's kind of gone on a hot streak here the last 5 weeks. Where has Denny landed, let's say, on your power rankings here with this performance as of late? Is he your top contender right now in the Cup Series for the championship?
He is, and that might be an unpopular opinion, but he's got 6 straight top fives, which is the first time he's ever done that. His previous career long was 4. Denny heats up, and this has been the kind of the theory throughout his career. He heats up as the season goes on, and the playoffs suit him well. Since his championship four has been in place, he's only made 1 of the 5 championship 4 races at Homestead. But I think this is the year. I mean, this is going to be the best year he's had in terms of playoff points. So you're looking at it now, and he's, what, tied second or third on the playoff points with Truex and Kyle.
Yep.
It's shaping up to be a JGR. I would say if there's no more than 2 in the Final Four, it would be a big disappointment. But even 3, I feel like they're the top 3 to beat.
Which of the other JGR drivers would it be? Oh, well, Truex Eric Jones might be the long shot there out of the bunch to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, I would say, Kyle, Denny, and Truex. Crazy things happen in the playoffs, as we've seen through the Xfinity and Truck Series, as well as the Cup Series over the past few years. So it wouldn't shock me if one of the 3 don't make it. But if no more than 2 make it, I'd be a big disappointment.
I agree there. Toyota camp doing pretty good right now, but the Ford drivers, they've had an up-and-down season. Which of the Ford contenders are you most worried about right now? Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, or Brad Keselowski?
Most worried about?
Yes.
I would go Logano, I guess, only because he's been fast all year, but he hasn't had the finishes to top it off. He should have won, 4 or 5 races. He only got 2 wins. I think in Kentucky, there's a late caution. Late restart with a green light checker, he finishes 7th when he was leading. So there's been a couple races like that. Richmond earlier this year. He should have 4 or 5 wins, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And lately he just hasn't gotten the finishes. So it'll be interesting to see if no one thought of them last year as a championship favorite either, or even to make the Final Four. Now, I would say they're probably the 4th or 5th best team this year, but they definitely got to turn it around because they got 4 straight finishes outside the top 10.
Dustin Albino joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Before we head you on, Dustin, I was kind of talking about the NASCAR postseason, and while we love upsets in sports, it seems like the hardest place to find an upset usually is the NASCAR playoffs, just the way they're structured, and with the playoff points and everything, the guys at the bottom of the playoff grid have a hard time advancing unless they pull some surprise wins. And really, if I had to pick my Final Four today, I wouldn't maybe stray outside of the guys top 6 currently in points. But what about you? Is there somebody towards the bottom end of the playoff grid that you think maybe can make a run? Maybe someone like a Kyle Larson or a Ryan Blaney or an Alex Bowman. Do you think someone could be get hot here in the postseason and have a shot to go to Homestead?
Yeah, so you're right on that. It's hard to find Cinderella stories in NASCAR. But if I had to pick one, I'm going to lean towards Alex Bowman, only because, this would be a stretch for him to make it to Homestead, but the final 8, I could definitely see as a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
He's written, you know, Hendricks ran well at mile and a half all year, especially Bowman, obviously went in at Chicago 2 months ago. He's 10th in points. He's ran, had a bunch of top two finishes at tracks in the playoffs earlier this year. And so he told me straight up he's excited to go to Las Vegas. He thinks they're going to be really good there. Also, I think Eric Jones could be dangerous. We've seen him have a hot streak lately, two bad finishes in a row. But prior to that, four straight top fives. So I think he could be sneaky. But other than that, nah, not really. I would go probably Jones Bowman.
And I just lost my train of thought, Dustin. I apologize. Yeah, definitely. Bowman. I wasn't thinking about him much, but you're right. If it'd be either him or maybe Kyle Larson for me. Obviously, Kyle has his tracks that he's much stronger on, especially if it's a track he can run the outside line. If things play out right, Larson could be a guy maybe too that advances into the final four. I'm getting on back on track here. We were talking about Cinderellas, and when you said the word Cinderella, actually the name, of course, of Matt DiBenedetto jumped to my mind, of course, and so much attention being paid to Matt right now, and well-deserved because of the 95 team performance of late. Have you heard anything connected to Matty D in his prospects for next season in landing a ride in not even the Cup Series, but maybe the Xfinity or Trucks going forward for 2020?
Unfortunately, I haven't. I'm sure he has, though, because there has been talks of him and Barstool possibly teaming up. Dave Portnoy interviewed him after the Bristol race. And, Matty D is a fan favorite. I was at Bristol last weekend, and the roar he got was something like I've never really heard before at a sporting event. And I've been to hundreds of sporting events. So that was cool to see. As for next year, I mean, the 38's out there,
yep.
But I don't, that would be a step back. It'd be a step back from even, you could argue, GoFast, because GoFast is ahead of the 38 team in points right now, and the 36.
Yeah.
If I was him, I'd want maybe take a year off from Cup, maybe go to Xfinity, and get a top-tier ride. You'd be a championship favorite, probably win the championship. Obviously, that comes down to Homestead. But why not? Because, contract-wise, for the Cup Series next year, a lot of people, there's teams that have options on drivers and drivers that have options, but there's not many seats opening up, not many elite level seats.
Mm-hmm.
Now for 2021, that'll be different. So, I'd say wait a year, go to Xfinity, win races, prove, you've already proved that you can run up front, but you've never won a race at the national touring level. Even yesterday in Road America, dominated the race, late caution, and then he spins on the final lap to finish 27th. So, I'm a Matty D fan. I think he can definitely win at the top level, but why not go back to Xfinity, get 5-6 wins, maybe the championship, and go for it in 2021 at the Cup level.
Dustin Albino, appreciate you joining us, and glad we could get you on here. What is coming up this week at frontstretch.com and the Front Stretch podcast? What could we be looking forward to from you guys this week leading up to Darlington?
For sure, yeah. I sat down with Eric Jones at Bristol, and we'll have a conversation with him on the podcast this week, kind of summing up his 2019 and also his recent hot streak. And also, they're going to Darlington, so why his paint scheme, which is a throwback to his first ever late model race,
mm-hmm.
Why that's so important to him to have that scheme. And then also, I'm kind of the Xfinity Series beat writer at Front Stretch, so I'll have an interview or an article on Tommy Joe Martin this week, talking about his change from BJ McLeod Motorsports to MBM, which is really his first big change of his NASCAR career. So definitely look forward to that on Thursday.
I like Tommy Joe. He's always very candid on Twitter and gives a kind of like an inside perspective from that guy that's running for one of those underfunded teams. And he kind of shows a lot of people behind the curtain on what goes on with teams at that level.
For sure, yeah, very outspoken, always has been, I think always will be. This is a good opportunity for him because he wants to be in Cup. He said he's not getting any younger, he's 32 years old, and, he's the only team that he could go to that has a Cup team would be MBM and not have to bring a ton of funding. So this is a good shot for him.
He's the pride of Auburn, New York, Dustin Albino. Dustin, thank you once again for your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of the NASCAR season, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dustin, thank you for the time. At Dustin Albino on Twitter if you want to follow him for more. And again, over at frontstretch.com.
Appreciate his thoughts. As I said in the opening segment of the program, IndyCar was also in action this weekend. They were at the Gateway Motorsports Park near St. Louis. And if you're looking for a local tie to the Gateway Motorsports Park, John Besee, who worked at Holland and Lancaster in the 70s and 80s as an announcer and PR person, and he now works over at that facility. Actually, Worldwide Technology Raceway is that's the official name of the facility. But a wild one last night for the IndyCar Series. Takuma Sato picked up the win, and what a week it was for Takuma after receiving a lot of criticism for sparking a huge opening lap crash at Pocono the week before that took out, among other drivers, Alexander Rossi and Ryan Hunter-Reay last week at Pocono, and really put a hurt on Rossi's potential of winning the championship. Sato bounced back and won yesterday at Gateway, beating Ed Carpenter by a half a car length. And these guys weren't much of a story through most of the race. It was Rossi and Santino Ferrucci were kind of battling for most of the race for the lead. Ferrucci leading 97 laps. Also, Newgarden leading a bunch of laps, and Alexander Rossi was very aggressive last night. But late race pit strategy kind of paid off for Sato and Carpenter. They stayed out while a couple of cars, including Rossi, pitted. They got trapped a lap down when the caution came out, and that allowed Sato and Carpenter to battle for the win. Instead of having to pit under green, they were able to pit under caution. And they wound up deciding the race for themselves. And Carpenter made a dash at the end of the race, but could not get Sato down the front straightaway. And Sato won by about a half a car length. Tony Kanaan finishing third. A nice run for TK, as he's had his struggles this season. Ferrucci, the top rookie in the series so far this year, he winds up finishing fourth. Simon Pagenaud fifth. Connor Daly, great run for him in sixth. Joseph Newgarden maintained his points lead, but he lost about three positions on the last lap. He spun coming off at turn four and got passed by about three, four cars. I think he was running third or fourth, wound up seventh. Didn't hurt him too badly in the standings, but still cost Newgarden a few points. Hunter-Reay, Colton Herta, and Marco Andretti rounded out the top 10. Rossi wound up 13th and a lap down again after he got trapped. He had to pit under green, and that late caution really did him in. So a couple of rough weeks for Rossi has dropped him back to third in the standings. Newgarden still leads. Pagenaud is now second, so Penske running 1 and 2, and it's about 38-point lead for Newgarden over Pagenaud for the championship standings. Rossi still has a shot, but he is about 46 points, I believe, behind Newgarden, just doing some quick mental math. Scott Dixon, Will Power, they had troubles last night. Dixon has some mechanical issues. He is fourth, but he is about 60 or 70 points out of the lead, and Will Power crashed out of the race, and now he's over about 150 out, so he's probably not going to be a threat for the championship this year, and it'll be likely as Penske teammates challenging for the title this year in IndyCar. But Sato getting the win at Gateway after Power and Dixon finished 1 and 2 last week at Pocono, with Power getting the win there. Dixon finishing second, with Pagenaud, Ferrucci again another fourth place finishing, Newgarden rounding out the top five. Rossi wound up 18th because of that opening lap crash, and just another scary crash at Pocono with Sato's car getting overturned. Luckily, nobody got hurt this year like the incident last season with the terrible crash last year. Oh my gosh, and the driver's name, the teammate to James Hinchcliffe that we had on the Wickens, Robert Wickens, excuse me, I couldn't pull it off the tip of my tongue there. The terrible accident he had there at Pocono last year, and has been struggling to regain, you know, walking ability and everything. Again, another scary crash at Pocono with a multi-car incident on the opening lap. Luckily, everybody got away from that unscathed, but definitely does not help Pocono and their chances of remaining on the IndyCar schedule for 2020 and going forward, as we kind of talked about last week with Pocono wants IndyCar back. IndyCar's like, yeah, I don't know. And they might be trying to move that date to Richmond or another racing facility. We'll have to wait and see. We come back, we'll hit the local racing roundup. No rain this weekend, a gorgeous weekend for local racing, so lots of results to get to, and a pretty cool race tonight as well, too, across the border. We'll talk about that next as we wrap up this edition of Fast Track on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
What a great weekend it was of local racing. We start Friday night action, Lancaster Dragway. Mason Fix getting his first top ET win of the season. Mason's racking up wins all over the place. Lancaster and Ohio and Pennsylvania is having a great year for that second-generation driver. Tony Madonia beating track owner Mike Swinarski in top eight eliminator. Mo Alfaki got another Street Outlaw win. Gary Brewer, Dan Marvin winning Buffalo Street Outlaw Street Limited classes. Reed Ricketson beating brother Ryan in the Mod ET final. Lucas Salemi got his fifth win of the year in bikes and sleds. And Fast Eddie Semlich got the win in Street ET over Dan Nabb. Friday night at the Big R, Ransomville Speedway. Eric Rudolph, Matt Williamson, another chapter in their rivalry this season, and Eric came out on top over Matt Williamson, Chad Brockman, Gary Lindberg, and Mike Bowman for his fifth win of the year. Eric now has a 27-point lead heading into this Friday's season championship night with a $2,000 to win feature for the 358 Modifieds. Garrison Krentz got his first sportsman win of the year over Derek Wagner and Brett Senek. Billy Bleach in the Street Stocks, a wild event there for the Street Stocks. Cole Soucy in the Mini Stocks, and Mike Martin got the novice sportsman win Friday night over at the Spencer Speedway. Chuck Hosfeld got the Race of Champions sportsman win. Tommy Barron got the win in the Super Stocks Friday at Spencer. Saturday at Lancaster was Chuck Hosfeld again. He was running third when they took the white flag, but first when they got to the checkered flag. As the leaders went into turn three, Sean Nye went to the inside of Patrick Emmerling. Both cars side by side go up the racetrack. Chuck darts to the inside, three wide, steals the win for his second of the weekend. Quite a finish there for the hot shoe in the sportsman. Rich Sharp won the Ken Heckler Tribute 51 lapper for the Street Stocks. In the four cylinders, Dave Brunka and Bobby Holmes winning for the second week in a row in the TQ Midgets there at Lancaster on Saturday night. Wyoming County International Speedway last night, Jason Anishevitz won the four cylinder race and unofficially clinched the track championship. Rob Laskowski got the stock division win in the four cylinders at Wyoming County. Troy Williams, who we had on the show, longtime local racer and car owner, worked with Daniel Suarez. He was featured on TV at Watkins Glen. He won in the last 2 weeks in the Super Stocks at Wyoming County. Dave Krozik winning the track championship, but Troy Williams winning the final two features of the last two features in the Super Stocks at Wyoming County. Brian Hallett won the six-cylinder feature and I believe clinched the track championship as well. The SST Modifieds, Alan Bookmiller clinched the track championship as he won the points finale of the season. So congrats to Alan on picking that one up. That was a close battle with Kevin Timmerman, but Timmerman unfortunately got into some trouble with another competitor and got taken out. And that opened up the door for Bookmiller to steal the win and the championship there at Wyoming County. Genesee Speedway last night. I'm going off of some social media reports on this, so if this is wrong, I apologize. But Jeremy Wunderling in the late models getting the win. Cam Tuttle got the sportsman win over Austin Soucy and Jim Harbison. Dante Mancuso in the mini stocks. Josh Pangrazio in the street stocks last night over at Genesee Speedway. Didn't get the official results from the track, but just picking those up over on social media. And Merrittville Speedway last night as well, too. Mike Bowman getting another 358 modified win over Ryan Soucy and Matt Williamson. Dave DiPietro getting the sportsman win. He's had a rough year, but has been getting better here late in the season over James Michael Friesen and Robbie Johnston. Rob Murray in the Hoosier Sox. Austin Werstrow in the four cylinders. Brent Bigelow in the Mod Lights. Kevin Conley in the six cylinders. Tonight, big one at Humberstone Speedway. One of their biggest events of the year, the fifth annual Pete Costco Memorial. 75 laps, $4,000 to win for the Modifieds and the Race of Champions Dirt Sportsman Series, $2,000 to win Canadian. 40 laps for the Race of Champions Dirt Sportsman, plus a full show with late model street stocks, Pro 4 truck mini stocks. Lots of bonus money up for grabs for all divisions. That's at 6:30 tonight, I believe, over at the Humberstone Speedway in Port Colborne, Ontario. That is, 6:30 is the start time there. A great night to remember a great man, Pete Costco, who suddenly passed away 5 years ago when I was working at the Speedway there on a weekly basis. Suddenly passed away. He was the owner of the track at the time. His wife, Linda, continues to own the property with Dave Bittner kind of running things this year over at the Humberstone Speedway. But that should be a great show. Coming up this Friday night, Spencer Speedway's got the Maynard Troyer Classic for the Modifieds. Lots of bonus stuff up for grabs for the Race of Champions Modifieds this Friday at the Spencer Speedway, plus late models. And I believe the four cylinders, too, over in action This Friday night at the Spencer Speedway. That should be a pretty good show. Also, Ranceville, as I said, the championships will be decided in the Modifieds and the Sportsman. Plus, they got a demolition derby this Friday night at the Big R, as you heard in one of the breaks earlier here in this hour. That'll do it for us. And the white flag is out. We're taking the white flag here on the 2019 season of WGR's Fast Track. As one show left, our thrilling season finale, as I like to joke, we leave you with the ultimate cliffhanger, the entire NASCAR playoffs that we don't get to talk about here on the program because of Bills football, but it's been another fun year on the show. So as we like to do at the end of the season, we'll get out the crystal ball, try and predict what happens for the rest of the NASCAR season. We'll tell you about some great local racing events, too, that'll wrap up the final month and a half of the local racing season as well, and hopefully chat with you one more time. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you for one more time here in 2019 next Sunday here on WGR.